Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to a special host-only episode of Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know. We don't have a guest in the studio today, but the good news is you've got all four of the regular hosts all back four. Together.
Boom, 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 boom.
My name is Miranda Selwood and with me at the table,
Zane C. Weber.
Welcome back, Zane.
Thank you.
Julie Eisentrager.
Hey, Julie.
It's me, KB.
Woo! She got a catchphrase and she's happy.
I'm happy.
So we decided to take a little bit of a breather from the constant onslaught of musical knowledge.
It's just so much.
So much. And talk a little bit about auditions today. So
a different kind of lesson that we've learned. Because we've all been on panel. We've all
been auditionees.
We've all auditioned for things.
So. Yeah. And the audition process is a really interesting process from the panel side of things and a very strange and scary experience. It can be for auditionees.
See, it need not be. I have never felt nervous at an audition.
Neither have I.
I will say my first audition, I'd never done any theatre before. I was approached at karaoke and said, my friend's doing a show. You should come audition. I was like, all right.
Okay. You were so like, hang on, let me just finish this rendition of Bohemian Rhapsody first.
No, it was Somebody to Love.
Oh, amazing.
That's my karaoke.
You are twins.
So yeah, I just walked in and I was like, I don't really know any theatre songs, but I know like some jazz standards. So I just did It Had to Be You and I was cast.
That's
and
amazing.
That was as easy as it was. Like that was just a community production. So obviously the bar wasn't too
but
high.
If that's your introduction to auditions, of course you're not going to be nervous when you
well,
go in.
There are auditions with higher stakes that I really want to get into, but like you can't control what happens. You just have to go in and perform
like you enjoy it.
And if they like you, they like you.
I think that's the most important lesson to learn quickly about auditioning in general. You have no control over the decisions that are made.
Yeah.
All you can do is walk in that room and give them what you have today.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they'll either want it or not want it. And that is absolutely no reflection on you and your skills.
All. That is okay.
And that's okay. That's okay.
It's okay if this turn isn't your turn.
Yeah.
But sometimes you could be perfect for a role.
Yeah.
But there is a person who is also perfect for the role with slightly different hair.
Yeah.
That but the audition panel decided that hair is needed for the role.
But to the same token, maybe, you know, you walk into the room and you don't show them exactly what they need. You're not always going to be the best person for a role, and that too is okay.
My mum, before every audition, used to be like, if the suit fits, and like would give this analogy that they've got this tailor-made suit that fits a specific person.
It's a Cinderella suit.
Yeah, if the suit doesn't fit you, it's not your fault. It just it wasn't your suit.
And
yeah,
can I implore everyone right here, right now, please do not beat yourself up after an audition saying, oh, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. Just have confidence that what you did was fine and what they were looking for was different.
That being said, what has been your favourite audition experience?
As an auditionee
Honestly, as an auditionee?
Yeah. What have you gone in and you're just like, this is it. This is I'm having fun. And
boom, I brought it.
It sounds like a plug and it is not, but it also is. legitimately my favorite audition experience was the first year I auditioned for 24 Hour Musical.
Aww.
Because I went in not knowing what – usually when I do an audition, I have a character-esque. I never give them the character. I give them character adjacent. I couldn't do that for 24 Hour Musical. I had to go, here's one a song I really love singing. Yeah. Here's something that shows I can sing legit. Mm-hmm. Here, and then, yeah, the way you guided us through acting, like we went off, we learned a piece of script, we brought it back. We're like, this is what we came up with. And then Zane was the director and Zane was like, ha, great, do it this way. And improv is another thing that I really, really love. So that's really fun to have in an audition. And I freaking loved it.
Good.
Loved it. Such fun auditions.
We do get good feedback from that audition process. The biggest thing being that not knowing actually really helps them bring their best game, because all they can do is what they do best.
Sing and what you like.
Yeah, it gives
sing.
You that freedom of this is what I do.
Yeah.
Here it is. And we also give time enough to the process to play with that and say, okay, let's give you an opportunity to play with it.
Yeah.
And do something different and try a couple of different things and it's a lot more about how do you work rather than the product that you bring into the room.
It's great.
So it releases that stress of am I giving you what you want? Am I giving you the right thing? I pitched it right? Have
I'm
picked
much
the right
the
song?
Same as Zane though when it comes to auditions. I've never been nervous. I've not been nervous for performance. Even way, way back to when I first started doing things like a Steadfords, my mum would get nervous for me, but I wouldn't feel nervous.
Well, see, that's crazy.
My very first performance, I was nervous, and then I had the exact worst experience you can have in the first song.
All your clothes fell off.
You forgot everything.
You fell off the stage.
I pitched the song an octave high.
Hey! Oh, no! Bingo.
First song of the preview, it's a duet, and it's like, I can sing about the first verse of this until
and then
gets
it needs
weird.
To get down.
Mate.
A good audition. I think it's between two auditions. One was the improv-y side. It was for a very Potter musical. It was my audition for Mrs. Weasley, a character that I already loved, a world that I already loved, a show that I loved, and I could just be.
You could just enjoy it.
I could just enjoy it. It didn't matter what happened in the room. People laughed and that was fun, and you didn't – like it was bringing a character that nobody really thinks about to life too, and not having the pressure of like, I'm not auditioning for Hermione. It doesn't matter what I do in this as long as it's fun. And the second one was the final callbacks for Hairspray. I was called back for Tracy, and that was a dream role.
Yeah.
And I think coming into the room I was like, there was a bit of, we don't know if you can pull this off. And then I did, and the reaction to that was like, yeah.
Take that panel.
Yes, I've got, like, I actually, it was the first time in probably my entire musical theatre career that I was like, I might actually be okay at this.
Look at me go.
So I think fun and play and doing what you love is, a big part of what makes the audition process.
And then it doesn't have to be 24 Hour Musical or a character that isn't high stakes or, you know, if you take that into any audition, just do what you do best and enjoy it, because that leaks into the panel.
Because, as a panel, if you're seeing like row after row of stressed people, that gets to you.
It really does.
And you get this person come in who's just enjoying. It's such a relief for you to enjoy
them.
Watching them enjoy.
It becomes a performance and an actual exchange of – like a performance and an audience. That's what you want.
And I think it's not even necessarily stressed people. It's people that you can see are riddled with self-doubt.
Yes.
You as a panel automatically go, well,
if you don't back
why
you,
should why I cast should, you? Yeah. If you don't think you can do it, why should I?
Yeah. Before QUT auditions, they get you to read, I don't know if they still do, but way back when I auditioned out of high school, they get you to read the audition guide written by Dean Carey. And in that book, he says, auditioning as an actor or a performer, that's the job. You're not interviewing to get the job. That is the job. Your whole
part of
life
the job.
is to audition. If you get the role, that's like the Christmas bonus. Like
the Christmas bonus being the part where you actually get paid.
Yeah. Yes. No, that's the bonus on top of the bonus. And I think that changed my whole perspective, because you go in and I think the stress comes from I need this role because I need to be able to perform, when actually you commanding an entire room and having that space that's entirely yours for 5 to 10 minutes, how often does that
It's a one-man show.
It's a one-man show.
I think that's why I like it, guys.
And any audience who didn't pay for their tickets is already happy.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that panel didn't pay to be there. What about you, Zane? What's your favourite audition experience?
My favourite audition experience was the first audition I really wanted this one particular character. I knew that I was good at what I was going in for, and I felt that I had like the perfect song. I didn't know it particularly well because I was kind of a ring in at the last minute to come in and audition. But it was when I was auditioning for Guys and Dolls.
Oh, nice.
Hey, I did that show with you.
You did do that show with me.
And you were good for that role.
And I was auditioning for Nicely Nicely, and I sang Use What You Got from Cy Coleman's The Life, which is just about hustling and having fun while you're doing it.
Yeah.
And it was just a whole bunch of fun. Everyone was smiling and I walked out.
Exactly.
And I got the role. So,
I think too, once you've had that experience where you're standing in front of a panel of people and they're all like, heck yes, this person is rocking my world, it makes every other audition after that so much easier.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I rocked their world. Sometimes. You know whose role I'm going to rock today?
Yours.
Mine was probably my Sweeney Todd audition.
Nice. Sweeney, Sweeney, Sweeney.
We got it in there.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I feel like that was a turning point in me making peace with the audition process. And I just remember that feeling of walking in that room. I knew a couple of people on the panel, which usually makes me more nervous. Because there's that personal expectation.
Yeah.
And there was one particular person in this room who had asked me to do the audition. And you would think on a logical level, well, that gives me confidence because they want to see me for this.
Yeah.
But on a strange emotional Miranda actor level, it really turned into a little bit of
imposter syndrome.
What it's if like, I don't they reach think their I'm better expectations?
Than I am.
Like they expect me to like, the belt, stupid notes, I can't belt. Maybe they think I'm something I'm not. You know, you get this real thing. And I just had this moment as when I walked into the room. So before I went in, I was probably the most nervous I ever remember being at any audition before I walked into that room. I was making like ridiculous chit chat with the people around me, which I don't. I normally just babble some nonsense and then sit quietly. Yeah. But this was just like Miranda's mouth wouldn't stop going. And I don't know whether you've listened to this podcast, but
a few times.
Occasionally I go off the rails. But as soon as I walked into the room and I heard the first notes of the introduction to my song, I just let it all go. And I just went, you know what? I know this song that I've brought to the audition. I was really comfortable with the audition song I took in. And I feel like this moment would never have happened if I had gone in with a different song.
And that's like a really...
But I was really comfortable and I knew it was a really good choice for this character.
Yeah.
And I was just like, here is your...
And finding that switch, you just have to do it once and then you know that it exists.
How to do it.
So you can find it again later on.
I'm not saying every audition since has been a total breeze and no nerves or anything like that. But I think I've found a way to harness nervous energy into performance energy.
Yeah.
And... It's really something I've even been able to take into performance on a regular basis.
I used to be the same. My whole body would shake. I would be so nervous. Everything about me was shaking. And I don't know when the switch happened. I think it was just a confidence thing of doing it enough times and enough training and a few good roles to be like, actually, this is okay. They're not judging. And maybe potentially also switching sides to be on the panel. And when people go, no, they really want you to succeed. And you're like, but do they? And then sitting there and being like, oh, no, they actually really want you to succeed. They're there.
Every person who hits a wrong note, you're like, just go on.
Just keep going. Just keep singing. Just please. Yeah. So I think maybe that was the turning point of being on the panel and being like, oh, these guys don't actually hate you.
They want they you want to be exactly what they're looking for. And they will try and mold you into what they're looking for because every single person that walks in that room, you're like, this could be it.
Yeah. And they want to. You want to find the right people. You don't want to have to call everyone you know to come in and be like, we didn't find who we were looking for. Please come sing for us.
I think like it's also as much as it's like they want you to do well, it's not as big of a deal as you believe it is if you hit a wrong note.
Yes.
No.
Or if you forget a line or if you fumble something. If you have to start your song again, depending on where you are in the song, it's not that big of a deal.
No.
If you start that song again.
How you deal with that song.
Yeah. If you say, I'm sorry, can I please start the song again? You start it again and you're amazing.
Yeah.
You're amazing.
Yeah.
That's fine. You're just audition nerves when we know that's a thing.
That's what 2 months of rehearsal are for.
Yeah,
exactly.
Getting that right.
Yeah.
We can fix that. That's fine.
Yeah.
So let's super quick chat of once you moved on to panel, how much of the, you know, do you start to feel empathy for the auditionees coming in?
So much.
You know, how much is it okay for a panel to help them? What's
I took a different feel. So when I was at first on panel, and I think it was also because I was teaching. Because I did it for a theatre school, I was teaching the students that I then had to audition. So I know what prep they'd done before coming into the audition, which is a dangerous place for them to be if they've not got their stuff together.
See, for me, it's always you do want these people to do their best, even if it's not what you want.
Yeah.
And you want to give them every opportunity to do it, but you also want to give everyone the same opportunity. So you can't give an individual person like an extra 5 minutes of help in the audition because that's not what an audition's for.
Yeah.
And like that is what like I always have to pull myself back in an audition. And it really helps when you've got other people on the panel as well.
Because you can blame them.
Honestly, well, you like, pass to them. Yeah. You go, is there anything you want to see?
Yeah.
And then being the person that's like, no.
It's like, no,
is really hard.
I think that's the thing of knowing what it's like. I remember my first professional theatre audition. I'd flown down to Sydney. It was a lot. I'd been there all day. I walked into a room full of people that looked exactly like me, dressed exactly like me. And when they called my name.
Sounds like a song. I've heard this.
Yeah. When they called my name.
Suddenly KB just belts out.
I stood up and the casting director looked me up and down, sighed, rolled her eyes and then walked into the room and I was expected to follow. That was the introduction of my audition. Wow.
I'd be like, hi guys, this b-hole just sighed and rolled her eyes. Are you ready to hear me sing?
I am not that person. I just went into a full state of like, why am I even here? Like, if they didn't, they saw my picture.
Yeah.
If they didn't want me, why am I here? Like, I don't look any different. So then I became this like spiral. It just spiraled. So my thing on a panel is to not invoke that feeling in other people.
Oh, you don't and sigh no, and roll I know. Your eyes?
And like, there are sometimes they come in and they're so nervous and you're just like, oh, babe.
Just take a deep breath.
But
take your time.
And it's fine. And my whole thing is like, your face. Keep your face straight.
Especially when you have people standing in front of you that you love dearly. And maybe they're not giving you the best audition that you know they could.
Yeah.
Keeping your face somewhat.
At least neutral.
Neutral.
I think that's specific to maybe some of the panels that we've been on where we are auditioning a lot of people that we know.
It's a community theatre syndrome probably more.
I think it's interesting.
I used to be well known for my audition face.
I've seen it.
There are plenty.
I want to see it.
What's the audition face?
There are plenty of people who have auditioned for me four shows and then I've met them again years later and they have said to me, you know, when I first met you and I auditioned for you, I thought you hated me.
Miranda, when I first met you and was in a show with you, I thought you hated everyone.
When I'm listening and concentrating, I get a scowl face that I sort of squint my eyes at them a little bit.
It's a bit like
it looks
you...
like I'm saying, "What are you doing here?"
Honestly, it also looks like, "Oh, that's not the right note."
If you could imagine a fart face, that's what Miranda's concentration face is.
like a little bit sneery too. So now being, once I found out that
she has a Venetian mask that she wears to all auditions.
I actually see all auditions through a secret camera. No, I like you, Kate. I have to really concentrate on smiling. By the end of the day, my face hurts.
Well, it's the because I'm empathetic. So whatever emotion they're giving to me, I'm mirroring back. So if they're singing something really angry, then I'm angry. If they're singing something sad, I'm like, oh. If they're like happy, then it's fine. So
it's a workout for you on the panel.
It's so crazy. A facial workout.
We were going to play a little game.
We were going to play a game.
Oh,
yes. We're all going to be put on our producer hats. You ready? Have you got your producer hat on?
Zane? If only this hat.
Everyone else at the table just put their hat
Mine's
on.
Mine's a cap. I'm still putting my ponytail.
Zane never takes his producer hat off.
That's dangerously true.
Did you just tell me not to put my ponytail through my cap?
No one puts a ponytail through their cap anymore,
Miranda,
Julie.
They are actually making caps with a higher hole.
And it is pronounced Ariana Grande. Okay. I know everything that the cool kids are up to.
All right. Sorry, Grandma.
Okay. What's the game, Zane? So
we're all going to produce a show and we're going, everyone else at the table is going to audition for our show. I'll go first because I'm in charge of this shindig.
All right.
This is me with my producer hat on now. You're welcome, everyone. So I'm producing Dames at Sea. Mm-hmm. Dames at Sea is a parody show that's based on all of those 30s, 40s, golden era musicals. So think 42nd Street and Anything Goes smashed into one.
Stop giving away all of our songs.
No. I'm so sorry. So lots of sort of kitschy music. Pretty much all the roles are comedy roles. It's a six-hander, so mostly women too.
Mm. Hot.
Which is
best kind of show.
Rare.
Nice. Awful. Yeah, rare. Sailors and showgirls. What are you singing?
Okay. Mm. That wasn't a sign for me to start.
I'm happy to go first.
Yes, Zane.
So,
welcome to the audition room. What are you going to sing for us today?
Well, keeping on theme, I'm going to sing I'd Rather Be Sailing from A New Brain. It's a contemporary ballad.
A contemporary ballad?
A contemporary ballad. It only goes up to a G flat.
That's okay.
So, but
even the tenors are baritones in this show, so it's okay. There is a tenor role.
Yeah. So, do I need to sing one or do I need to sing two?
Do we have a contrasting piece?
No.
Do you have a second song?
I do have a second song. It's this is my one of my go to audition songs. It's The Lady Must Be Mad from a show called Illyria, based on the Shakespeare play. It's a very high tenor song. I believe it's a high D.
So you're going for the romantic lead.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to show you that I'm capable of a romantic lead voice.
Yeah.
as well as a, you know, a character baritone if necessary.
Okay, if necessary.
And so A Lady Must Be Mad is a comedic piece.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Interesting choices. A little more modern than I would have expected, but... But jazzy influence, so still good.
Unfortunately, a lot of my audition repertoire is modern because that's where I lean. So I wanted to go with things that I'm quite confident with.
Yep, good choice. Yeah. Always a good choice to sing something you're confident with.
Yes.
She said it loudly and directly into the microphone.
Because it's true.
Yes. Julie?
Oh, you're looking at me. Damn it.
KB?
I'm picking my songs in the car like I do for every audition. Every single audition I've ever done, I pick the song in the car.
That makes me nervous for you. But do you know why? But you are on it.
I know what character I'm going for. I know what feel I'm going for. And I have a lot of music in my car. So I'm going in not nervous because...
You know it.
I don't have time to be nervous.
So have you picked it or do you need me to go?
No, I picked it.
Okay.
I picked it in the car on the way here. Auditioning as a female lead, I would sing potentially Will He Like Me from She Loves Me. And as my second song, I was thinking, because you can fit a fair bit of that indirect sass.
Yes.
Indirect sass, is it? It might make sense when I say happy to keep his dinner warm.
Yeah.
How to succeed.
Actually, that is a really good choice for Ruby because it's almost an exact mirror of
this
one of her songs in the show.
I do, people. Yes. This is why I do audition prep for other people.
Yeah.
I forgot you would have to go in for two songs.
Oh no, I haven't prepared two songs for any of my
auditions. I have not done a musical. Well, since musical 24-hour musical most recently, that's the first musical theater audition I've done in like 3 years.
You did a very good job.
Thanks, mate. You guys, I've just got to let everyone know that I got really nervous when I submitted it because I realized the television was behind me and I wasn't wearing any pants and I was so nervous.
Goes back you to immediately see, look at that video
you
again.
Could see a reflection, but you can't. I just
to clarify, KB did send in a video audition. It's not that she brought in a television and wore no pants to an actual audition.
That's the key to getting the part.
No pants. Pants well, I mean, Friday.
We didn't know she didn't have any pants on, but I guess it kind of makes came sense. Through.
This is what I do. I was looking at like 1930s.
Yes, good place to start.
And I went for it's not in my age range.
Oh, okay.
But Boulevard of Broken Dreams from 42nd Street.
Yes.
Ooh. For me, because it fits the ballady style of the show, but it also is character driven for me, and that's where I tend to lean towards.
Nice, yeah. Would you like me to give you a second song?
Yeah, sure.
So I did Dames at Sea when I was 16 years old, and I played the part of the aged old chorus dancer.
Classic Miranda.
I'm literally the youngest person in this cast and I'm playing the like old hat, been at it for years, probably should have retired chorus dancer. I sang 42nd Street for my audition.
Yeah.
So you can have that as you.
I'll just do everything 42nd.
Just do the entire score 42nd Street. Done. Yeah. Cool. All right. Who's next?
I'll go next.
Yeah, wow. Go for it.
I'm putting on a fantastic show.
This fantastic show.
A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder.
Something I
already know what I want to sing.
I'm really looking forward to this and the kind
I'm proud of this one.
So, and then the kind of songs that you what roles you think you're going for. Well, Julie's literally bouncing. So.
We're all women.
No, there's only two
I'm not
roles.
Auditioning for a woman.
A woman.
Yeah.
And I said this to Zane a couple of weeks ago. I don't want to audition for a woman in Gentleman's Guide. I want to audition for the Dacsquith family.
Okay.
Great.
And so I only have one piece for you, but it's Poisoning Pigeons in the Park.
Nice. Great. Yeah. That's a good choice.
You're welcome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that role is not a particularly hard sing.
No, it's not.
For anyone.
It's relatively simple.
But it is all about character.
And that Poisoning Pigeons in the Park, character song.
Yeah.
Right. I had actually, assuming that I was going for one of the two freaking sopranos in the show, because obviously I am a coloratura soprano. I had Poisoning Pigeons in the Park on my list as well. On my list. It wasn't what I went with in the end.
What did you go with in the end?
Well, look, the classic I think that would have, that probably would be the go-to for this role is Vanilla Ice Cream from She Loves Me.
Yeah.
It does turn up in auditions a lot though. So if I was looking for something.
Yeah, we did.
Oh. Did we?
We had two in 24 hours.
Oh,
this
I
year.
Was not paying attention.
Yeah.
That's when Julie zoned out.
I love that song, so I don't know how I missed that.
I might consider He Called Me from I Love You, Perfect Now Change.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Two. Just so the absurd little soprano bits in that. If I was a better soprano, Glitter and Be Gay, or maybe the laughing song from Defoe.
That
Mouse.
Glitter and Be Gay is the perfect song for Sabella.
Yeah.
Like that is, if you're going to embody Sabella in your audition, Glitter and Be Gay is
I love
a great
all
song
the little – the little beautiful embellishments in Glitter and Be Gay, like her laughter. It's so pretty. And
well,
so
there's also laughter in the laughing song.
Amazing.
I don't think I know that song because I'm thinking of a legitimate Italian opera song. That's not what that is, right?
The Flattermouse?
Yeah. Okay, that's German.
Yes. So it's probably not Italian.
What about UK being?
I really like picking obscure musicals. Nobody's heard of
it's a
because
good call for auditions.
There's no expectation when you say the title of it, and then you can totally wing it. No, I practice a lot. But I picked To Keep My Love Alive from A Connecticut Yankee, and it's not like a
do whatever you want.
Yeah, it's not like a high soprano, but it has the
it's mostly comedy. Yeah. And again, I pick roles that I can act, and the singing comes later, because if the story and emotion is there, then I know my voice will match it.
Well, I mean, that's my personal like theatrical motto as well.
Yeah.
So.
I go for a bit of both, to be honest, kids. Yeah. You kind of have to sing it too.
Well, you practice note by note, but when you, if you can't, if for me, if I can't tell the story of it, then it's not going to happen.
Right.
And so. And
this comes back to what we were saying before about bringing a performance into the audition.
For me, if it's not in the car while I'm driving, it's probably not going to happen in the audition.
But it's quite comedic. Like it's quite comedic, and it sounds like it's higher than it actually is too.
Perfect. So perfect choice.
For me, it's fun.
Because what you want at the end is for the MD to call over to the pianist and say, Was that a top? What's it?
You know. And he's like, no, it's a middle C. Yeah, that's me.
Excellent. Mm. You're all cast.
Yay! Did I get cast as the whole Dusk with Family? Because this is a great day for me.
Yeah.
That role, I think, would kill someone. Like,
and has, because like, they all die.
No, but the one actor having to go through, like,
it's I'm
like,
definitely willing to take
I will
that.
Say that is a dream role of mine.
It's a dream role of mine too.
I don't think it's a role I could ever do.
But it would be amazing.
But it is a dream role.
So it's a dream role.
It's a dream role.
I'm casting a show, kids.
Woo! What is it?
It's Grey Gardens.
All right. Well, I think I should go first because obviously I'm the most obvious choice for Grey Gardens.
Spanner in the works.
So
here.
Just tell us quickly about Grey Gardens, Julie.
Grey Gardens stems from a documentary that followed the life of it's actually Jackie Onassis's auntie and cousin, like relatively distantly related. Her auntie is bedridden and her cousin is like kind of runs the house but also is very eccentric and has no idea what she's doing, and they're just two very eccentric women that are cray cray. And then from that documentary there was also a movie starring Drew Barrymore and someone else who I can't remember, and then there was this musical which follows the same storyline of these two super cray cray ladies. And it's just fun.
Who end up living in a house with a whole bunch of cats, right?
The cats are already there.
Are the cats in the musical?
Jessica Lange, how could I forget? Sorry.
Are the cats in the musical? Can you please?
I don't know.
I think the cats may be.
It's very hard to watch the musical because you have to watch it on YouTube.
It's all there.
And it's a bootleg and it's not great quality.
So Zane, are you auditioning for the cats?
I'm auditioning for the older
Evie. Good pick.
Yeah.
She loves to cook in bed.
Yep. Now, this is just a song that I know and the song that I can, well, that I would try and do emotional justice to. Don't Cry Out Loud from Boy from Oz.
Good pick. Good pick.
I would probably go American accent because of the show
Real
I'm auditioning
New
for.
Yorker.
Well,
oh, they actually do. She speaks.
It's not real New York though. It's more, elevated New York.
It's her.
Yeah, it's what her voice.
Next level everything.
I've done something I have never done an audition before. Woo! And not picked a musical theater song. I know it's like I couldn't, but I was listening to Another Winter in a Summertown, which is a song from the show.
Another Winter.
And I, every time this like bit came up, I was like, that is another song. What song is that? What is that? And I'm like, it sounds like Moon River.
Correct.
So I'm singing Moon River for good my audition.
Good KB. You're on it.
I don't think I'm on it. I don't think I'm getting into this show.
Okay. I'll let you know.
So, I don't know. You have to outdo Don't Cry Out Loud, man.
I was thinking of flipping through Scarlet Pimpernel, The Light in the Piazza.
Light in the Piazza would be good.
Light in the Piazza, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know much of Light in the Piazza, though, so I would probably go with a little night music and send in the clowns.
Thematic.
Yes, purely because it is thematic.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
It's not good.
But it's not tonally correct.
Okay, good.
But again, you suggested I
should probably go with something from Sunset Boulevard.
So you would do a With One Look or – no, probably With One Look. to be honest.
Well, I'll do that.
Great. Can't wait to cast you.
Okay, good.
So who are you going for?
Crazy old cat lady number two.
Number two, the younger of the two. Edie.
It depends on how you number them, doesn't it?
Little Edie.
Guys, you can't see, but I flipped Miranda off.
All right. Okay. Final audition
KB's
for the day.
And I have to do some intense
Googling. I have room in my calendar for one more show.
You have one more? Okay. This is going to be a big year for all of us.
Yeah.
I am producing one of my dream shows.
Wow.
I know. I just love it so much. It's Bonnie and Clyde.
Nice.
What would y'all sing for me?
I'm having so much trouble with this one because I have a specific song that I want that I can't find. So everyone else go because I'm still Googling.
This is a hard one because it's 1920s mm-hmm. kitschy fun, but it's also really angsty pop rock.
It's a
almost
mix.
Music. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Wild Horn, you son of a gun.
Wild Horn is my niche. He loves tenors.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got Wild Horn.
Maybe he is one.
You're fine. So I thought I'd flick through Jekyll and Hyde, Wild Party.
Yeah.
Maybe even Drowsy Chaperone might have a little something in there. But when it came down to it, and I might even consider looking into some of the postmodern jukebox catalog.
She's dipping into many pies.
To see if something in there has got a good blend of that pop Charleston thing.
Yeah.
But I think what I'd end up going for is Let Me Be Your Star or Secondhand White Baby Grand.
Can you get off my current Google search?
Nice.
I'd probably go, that's the second one.
Or Don't Forget Me.
Okay.
Which is the other one.
Stop there. Because I've picked the one I want and you haven't said it.
Secondhand White Baby Grand.
Yeah.
That was my second choice.
Yeah. Well, for me, Wild Horn is, like I said, my strong suit. So an underproduced Wild Horn musical is Frankenstein.
Great.
So he did Jekyll and Hyde. He did all these other monster ones and he's done Frankenstein. And Frankenstein is like ridiculous pop tenor.
Great.
So I'm going ridiculous pop tenor.
Yeah.
It's Birth to My Creation. And it is like intense pop musical.
Great.
If you wanted a second, of course.
Of course.
A bit more.
I mean,
in the
I do
style.
Know you, Zane. So
yeah, of course. I would need at least
it,
four.
But to be fair, you've asked for two from everyone.
Would be You're Nothing Without Me from City of Angels.
Oh, nice.
Without me. Yeah. I love that song.
Which is another braggadocious sort of character song.
Braggadocious.
I like that word.
Braggadocious.
Good one, Zane. Julie,
I found.
Have you picked your song?
I think I picked it.
Is it also from Smash?
It is also from Smash.
Oh my god, we're going in together, one right after the other.
I know.
Who is it gonna be?
I picked. They Just Keep Moving the Line.
Nice.
Yeah.
For the similarities to How About a Dance?
Yeah. Great.
How about a dance?
Yeah. Nice one. Interesting. It's all very, I guess what is your process then when you go to pick? Other
Panic,
than pick it in the car. what do you guys do first?
Something that you're super comfortable with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you have an audition in a week, like you don't want to be picking a new song and learning a new song.
Yeah.
You want to at least know it well.
Unless
if you don't know it.
All the songs you have are heinously inappropriate for that role, then I would suggest maybe learning something new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I have had a discussion with someone about before and they ignored my advice and look what happens.
I mean, this is something that you get with experience of going to auditions is you get up a little bit of a repertoire so you can pick if you're going for a classical musical or if you're going for a pop musical or if you're going for any mix of kind of musicals, you pick something that you're comfortable in that shows off what you can do without pushing yourself too far.
Yeah.
Because if you don't always have that note, chances are when you are nervous in your room under air conditioning, you're not going to get it.
Don't take it.
Don't.
For me, I think the first thing that I look at is the if it's an audition where there's a character I know I'm auditioning for, I look at the intent and drive of that character.
Yeah.
I try to match that to a character in another show and then see if there's something that's musically, you know, a close enough genre
yeah.
to to also match the musical style. But for me, it really comes from finding a character with the same drive and mm-hmm, intention. Yeah. Because if you can embody that character type,
yeah,
yeah,
then you got
then you're showing the panel, here is my understanding of the character.
Yeah.
It might not be the same understanding as them, but they'll recognize
it's enough
that you have actually thought about that. You're and not just going, well, it's a Wild Horn show, so I'll just do another Wild Horn show. And
which is not a smart pick at all, because Wild Horn has
just an example that was right in front of me.
He has varying ideas of characters within his shows and who they should be. But also I think it really does bug me when people think they have to give that character. That's the worst thing you can do. Don't give them that exact character, because that may not be their idea of that character, the panel's idea of that character.
And then don't choose a song from the show.
Adjacent. So I always say to my students, do character adjacent, don't do the character itself.
Yep.
Yeah.
And never go in costume.
And never go in costume. Although I have been to an audition where someone has turned up in costume and they've been given the role.
Well, sometimes, I haven't been to that audition.
I have been to, and I think the funniest one I saw was I was at a callback for
Please say cats.
It's close. I was called back
Starlight
for
Starlight Express.
I was called back for Pirates of Penzance.
No.
And they came fully dressed as a pirate with a sword.
No.
That's one step too far. Again, I'd go with think about character adjacent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Style adjacent.
Yeah.
You know,
wear some tight pants and a loose white shirt.
Yeah.
That's go as Jerry from that one episode where Jerry and Seinfeld does the Philly shirt.
Yeah, it's
not too much.
It is interesting.
it is a fine line to walk well.
Yeah,
yeah.
That here is me, mm-hmm. the individual performer person. Here is my genuine real self.
Yeah,
and also I can embody this character for you.
Yeah,
and it is important to find that switch in the room as well, to go in and introduce yourself as yourself, as a person, and then being able to access that character and, during the performance.
On that point, how do we feel about the turn to the side and gather?
I personally hate it.
I think you need to give yourself the right amount of time. I think it's hard because you feel rushed. You feel like there's a thing that you need to achieve. And so I don't think you need to Sharpay Evans it. But I think you do need to just have, even if that's just taking a moment, staring at the floor and just being like, okay, this is what we're about to do. This is the moment before, go. Yeah. And I think it's easier in a monologue audition than it is in a song audition to achieve that and just be like, okay, this is the space I'm in. This is who I'm talking to. Go.
I just use whatever I'm doing, whether I'm reading or whether I am singing, it's to just transition. I don't need that.
To be fair, though, Joey, you put a lot of yourself into your characters.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that you play the same character over and over, but all of your characters are
the ones
are
you've seen.
On, yeah, yes. Are based on yourself.
The ones you've seen, yes.
So I don't hold this against people. If this is what they need to do,
but
do it. But if it is.
Do it, but don't be dramatic about it.
Yeah.
If it's obvious,
it can be as much as acknowledging you're a accompanist.
Yeah.
When you're ready.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be a moment.
Yeah.
Is I think what I'm trying to say.
Like if you've been singing a really emotional song and then you're going into a character piece.
Yeah.
Do it and do it first. I'm
joking. It's more than okay to go,
I just need to catch
my breath.
Just because you're going to go into a show where you've rehearsed the same character for a month to 3 months to 6 months where you are going to be in one spot. But if you're singing two different songs from two different shows and then a monologue, you need that time to just be like, okay, that's done. That's over. Reprogram yourself and go.
So the Pirates apparently was just a great, great callback for stories. In that callback, I was also paired with one man who gave me nothing. Whatever. And the second man who decided he would
yodel
scene.
Oh.
Like with his hands and everything at the end of our dialogue that had been chosen for us, he end scene.
He orchestra cut it off like a conductor.
Literally cut it off like a conductor in front of the panel. And I just turned to look at the panel with this face of
What? What just happened?
I think not letting other people affect you in an audition is a really interesting
thing.
It's
so hard when you've got someone against you that's giving you nothing keep giving.
Or I've had people direct you and your callback, like the actor doing scene work with, direct you and be like, you need to walk here and here so I can do this. And you're like, actually.
But I think
we're going to work off each other.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
And the more experienced you are, the more you can be like,
no. I think that is a big lesson I wish I had learned early on, is that it is just as much your space in your audition as it is the people you're reading off.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you're not, you are there to support them and to give them what they need, but you also need to take ownership of what you're doing at the same time.
Heck yeah.
So we could talk for hours about fun audition stories.
We could.
But yeah.
It's just going to be the series of episodes for the next 3 months.
No, it's not. We're going to return to regular programming next week. So we'll head back into our usual show format. But we hope that you've taken a few lessons of your own out of this. And if you have audition tips or lessons
funny
you've
audition
learned,
stories, please.
Yeah. Even or funny if audition you've seen stories. Our face on the panel and we need to know what we look like, please let us know.
Actually, maybe don't.
If you would like to write in and complain about Miranda's audition face. I think it's getting better. I think by the end of the day, the smile starts to look really fake.
Maybe we'll practice
just
it.
All I can
we'll
do.
Practice just it before next time.
Just like, at the end of the day, I feel like Barbie at the end of Toy Story 2, where she's bye. Oh my God, my face hurts.
Well, anyway. Miranda, before your next set of auditions, Zane, KB, and I will prep you, bringing in the best and the worst of what you could see. Okay?
Yeah, just speed round.
Yeah,
bam.
I look forward to it.
That would be fun.
But I also look forward to hearing from you, our listeners. You can find us on socials everywhere, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you're listening to this on iTunes or whichever podcatcher you prefer, subscribe, rate, and review. That'd really help us out. If you want to send us a lengthy email about your best or worst audition, musicalstaughtmepodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, and we promise we won't share the really embarrassing stories.
Unless you give us permission.
But we might. And if you're interested in supporting us, you can throw a few dollars a month at us via patreon.com/musicals taught me everything I know. It makes a really big difference to, you know, things like the equipment that we can put together to make sure we
paying
record
for Spotify.
Well.
Spotify.
So thanks to all of our Patreons.
Yeah, you guys are awesome.
You are awesome. Support the arts, buy tickets, see shows, and all the best for your next audition. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Hi there, my name's Jessica Kate.
And I'm Ellen Rose.
And we're the hosts of Murder in the Land of Oz,
a new Australian true crime podcast.
Yes. We're starting off in Brisbane, our hometown, because
Relatable.
We're going to be coming to you every second Monday.
So give us a listen, give us a like.
And a subscribe. Come and join us on our journey where we explore the depths of true crime Australia. Oh yeah.